Well, good morning. We have been studying hope, being encouraged by the word hope. And today, I would like to speak to us because I really believe that God wants to encourage us with His name, that we would be so reminded, that our cups would be so full with all that His name holds. And I know it's impossible. He's indescribable. But there are some words that we're going to look at today, and we're going to let our hearts and our cups so overflow that, like Pastor Barry prayed moments ago, we would then be able to just spill that out because we have been filled. God fills us all the time, but this morning's sermon is one of filling. So if you got anything else in your heart that shouldn't be there, empty it right now so you can be filled up. We're going to start with just a little bit of fun, because kids always ask all kinds of questions about who God is. And this little gal said that God was the superhero for the world. When someone else asked, why did God make mosquitoes? All they do is bite you. Why would He do that? I think that speaks to our questions. God, why would you do that? Another little one asked, this one was a little one, did Jesus get potty trained as fast as I did? Can God read our minds? Is Santa God's really rich brother? And in Sunday school, did Jesus practice walking on water first? And if yes, how can I do it? If God saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone, how come He never made Himself a wife? Kids are not afraid to ask questions out loud about God. And today we're going to ask God and then look to His Word, because He describes Himself and He has revealed Himself to us in the pages of His Word. Romans 15:13 is my prayer for us today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And hope in this sentence is not wishful thinking. I hope I'm going to lose 10 pounds after Christmas. It's not that. This is the certain hope that is tied to God's name, the expectation of what is sure and true, because this word hope is tied to His holy character. God cannot lie, and He cannot do evil. So this certain hope, this expectation, is based solely on God's name. Like I said before, I can't describe God. We can't. The Bible is so full of the names of God. People have written books and novels and sermons. God has spoken to your own hearts. And still God is so deep and so wide. But I really believe that today there are some names that He would have us reminded about, so that as we go on this Christmas season, this new year, that's what we're going to build our hope on. Elohim, the supreme being, God, the creator. I think it's really funny because the world does not want to believe in a supreme being, yet if you are a Star Wars fan or a fan like that, there, gods show up, supreme beings show up all the time. People don't know that God has put eternity in our heart, and the Creator has put this longing in our hearts to know Him. He is the mighty one who rules over all nature and all creation and the heavens above. Elohim spoke the world into existence. He created the heavens and the earth. You know, it is, I've taken time in this crazy busy season to have moments of just stopping and looking. And I've had to do that on purpose because, like you all, Christmas is so busy and another week has gone by and I think, what have I really done? But I have looked at a tiny little hand, little Walter's hand, our new grandson, and I think, wow, God, you're amazing. You are the creator. You continue to create life in a woman's body, and new children are born. I spoke with my friend Ed about his wife Louise, and she's had an injury to her shoulder. And this amazing system that God has put into our bodies for healing, he will explain it much better than I can. It's something about glue, but I thought, God, you are so amazing. We can't describe you. In the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul addressing the crowds in Athens who had placed a statue to an unknown God in the city square. And we read, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. The word for God there is Theos, the supreme being, who is the creator and owner and sustainer of all things. He is still at work creating, healing, broken relationships. He brings new life to people who come to that decision and say, I want to know God. Isn't that amazing? And I think that creator, I would like you, if you have an impossible situation, to think about the creator who still is creating. He cares about everything that we care about. He is at work in us to create new spiritual life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not remade, but new. There's newness in our Creator. Take time to stick your tongue out and catch a snowflake, and then Google on Facebook or how beautiful as each individual snowflake is. I've been so amazed. Sometimes in the shoveling of life, when we shovel another foot of snow, we forget how beautiful God has created our world to be. Don't give up this season, this new year. Look around you. Look up. Our Creator is at work in us and all around us. It brings us to another name, Yahweh, the Lord. The word Yahweh comes from the Hebrew word for I am, exist, be. That is the proper name of the God of Israel. And that's the name that God described himself to Moses in the second book of the Bible. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am has never changed. The people understood that. I am carried awe and honor for the Israelites. And from that moment of the parting of the Red Sea, the salvation and carrying the children of Israel out of Egypt, the name Jesus, I am, is tied forever to the Exodus event, salvation and deliverance. He's your Lord. He's your deliverer. The name Jesus in Hebrew is Joshua. I did practice Yahweh, which means salvation. In Isaiah, the prophet writes, who has done this and carried it through, carrying forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am He. This is our God, the great I am, our salvation, unshakable and so mighty. We can trust the great I am with the salvation and deliverance of our friends and families. Don't give up hope. There is a fullness of time that will come. That's what I love about the Christmas message. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus. There's a fullness of time for the members of our family to be brought to that point of decision. Only they can make it. But I believe that the great I am, Yahweh, will bring them to that point. Trust in the God of hope. trust in Yahweh, your Lord will bring your loved ones to that point of decision. And then it's theirs to make, but He will bring them there. We come to El Roi, the one who sees. You know, it's kind of funny, but in the malls, I think maybe we have gotten the idea if someone sees us, that He'll write down if you're doing good things and bad things. You know that song. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. I don't know how many children have been scared into obedience with that. It's kind of creepy, I thought. And to be honest, I've used that on my own children many, many years ago. It's not even good, but that's not how God sees us. That's not what this means at all. That name, El Roi, speaks to one of kindness and great care. And in the book of Genesis, we find that name written in the story of a frightened and lost woman, Hagar. She ran away from home because she felt betrayed and hurt by her family, and then found herself in the desert, isolated and in need of help to care for her young son. How many times have we ran away from things and then wondered, nobody sees me? That was our middle child when the third was born. He'd run away in a room and cry, and we'd say, what's the matter? And he'd say, no one is with me. Well, hon, you ran away from us. We were always here, but we didn't lecture him. We just embraced him and brought him back to the family. But see, God revealed himself to her in that lonely and dry place, and her wonderful response is recorded in the book of Genesis. She, Hagar, gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Bir Lahai Roi. It means the well of the living one who sees me. God sees the numbers of the hairs on your head. He sees you in every circumstance, in our joys, in our sorrows, in our running away. And He sees us exactly as we are. We don't have to hide. We don't have to try to be good to get a reward from Him. He loves and cares for us in spite of who we are, in our circumstances. Isn't that wonderful? When you're by yourself, when you're looking to say something to someone who's passed away and you want to share that experience, you know what? God sees you. He's right there with you. He sees you. I think that's amazing. God is so good. Let's go even a little deeper. Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know, right from the beginning of creation, we see that God has always had this longing and desire to be with us. The Bible says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the Garden of Eden. Isn't that nice? At the end of the day, there weren't the task to be done, but an amazing conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with the Creator. And at Christmas time, we remember that God the Father sent Jesus so that a renewal of that intimate fellowship with our Creator would be possible again. His plan was such a wonderful and a personal one. A baby in a stable, born to be the Savior of the world. In Isaiah 7:14, we read, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Do we know what that means? Say it out loud. God with us. What a wonderful gift. Jesus lived among us and revealed God the Father to us. And His birth and death set in motion a plan of love that has broken the barrier of sin and death and reunited us with a loving and heavenly Abba Father. You can put your hope in this God of presence. even in the political upheavals, when you're going to Haiti, and when there's turmoil, God is with you. He's with you. That's the heart of the Christmas message. God wants to be near us, to be near you, and he found a way to do just that. You know, Chris and I have held a little baby in our arms, and the miracle of that is so astounding. When you hold a newborn and you think, God, you went to great lengths to be with us, and how precious that is. I don't have a slide for this one, but when I thought about this, I had to add Abba, Daddy, Father. That's the most intimate form of God's name. You know, some of us think, I didn't have this, I didn't have that kind of father, but that kind of thinking so limits us, because we do have a loving and heavenly Father, the one we can fully trust and lean on, the one that cares about all of our concerns. And we, Chris and I, have had the privilege of seeing that kind of love portrayed when our son-in-law holds his little Walter. It's wonderful to see. This little man can't do anything for himself. His needs are endless. Thomas, our son-in-law, puts up with his cries, never-ending diaper patrol, his own fatigue. He's not counting the cost, but instead he can't wait to go home. Do you know that's the name when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, that Jesus used the word Abba in Luke 11? He said, when you pray, say, Daddy, Abba, Father. Isn't that amazing? That's how God is to us. That's who he is to us. So if you think you can't be near to him, yes, you can. He loves you. He'll put up with everything and anything just to love you and be with you. He doesn't count the cost. And in Galatians 4:6 we read, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Our spirits call out to God, Abba, Father. Let's really lean into that this coming season. You have a Father in heaven, Abba, who loves you so much. And finally, we have Jesus, Savior. There's a favorite chorus of mine. It's from an old song. It's written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. Some of us, who we will not put hands up, would know this song. But it says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. In Matthew's gospel, it's written, she will give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He's yours, he's my personal Savior, and he's the Savior of the world. His mission of love was to seek and save the lost. And that hasn't changed. He's still doing that. That is the hope we have within us. That is the good news that the angels gave to the shepherds. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. Little Walter was born to Tiffany and Thomas in our family, but Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph and all of us. It's a baby, a Savior that was born for all of us. What a gift. What amazing news to share. Let your hearts be filled with this wonderful truth. He is the God of hope. We love him because he first loved us. He's the hope within us. He makes impossibly dark places filled with his light and turns them into gateways of hope. He's the God of hope, our source. He fills our cups to overflowing. He is the Creator, the Lord of Lords. He is a watchful and loving Father. He is the Savior and the soon returning King. We have been filled today with the good news of Jesus. And you know what? When your cup is full, either you take it to a sink and spill out the rest, or you think, wow, there's a lot of water in here. I wonder if Mr. Chris is thirsty and he wants some of my water. Or I wonder if Rosanna, if I could share my cup, my big mug of coffee with her because she doesn't have coffee. So I would say, spill your life, fill your cups into others so that they might find hope in our Savior. About a month before Christmas, Pastor Barry and I were talking about what should we talk about at Christmas time. You know, it's an endless, we could talk about so many things, but we both felt that people need hope. But we don't only need hope. We can be reminded of the hope. We at least have a foundation for this. But the people in the world don't have that. They need to know the Savior. They need to know the hope that is within us. So would you, in these moments when I'm going to pray for us, just fill your cup up. If you need a fresh touch from the Creator, from Abba Father, from your Savior, from Yahweh the Lord, would you just allow Him to fill your cup? And it's so that you can be refreshed, but it's also so that your cup will be so full that you'll want to give a fresh cup of water, the good news of the gospel, to others. So let's pray.